So have you had enough? Are you worn down yet? Are you hanging in there? Maybe barely? Well, hold on a little bit longer, and let's watch this video to introduce this new sermon series that we're starting today.
When my son Eric turned 13, I bought him and I kayaks so that we could go kayaking down the Thornapple River, have some fun doing that. His birthday is in September, so the first time we got out on the river, it was the middle of September. And we put in the river by the bridge in Middleville, and things were going really well. It was a lot of fun. We got to the bridge at Crane and thought, hey, we can just keep going. We can make it up to Parmalee. We got this far pretty fast, and we got enough time. And that's where I made a few mistakes. My first mistake was not considering the fact that although Eric had just turned 13, he did not yet have the physical strength and stamina, especially perseverance and endurance, that he would have later on, even in just a few years. Even though he was developing upper body strength, it just wasn't the same. And it definitely wasn't like an adult. He was going to get tired a lot more quickly. I also failed to think about the fact that at middle of September, the days are getting a lot shorter, a lot more quickly, and that we'd be running out of light much quicker than I thought. Along with that, I forgot about the fact and didn't think about that rivers really don't have streetlights. They really don't have illumination of any kind. And once the sun starts going down, they get dark. And they get dark very fast, as we were experiencing. And last thing that I really didn't think about too was that even though it's kind of a straight shot from the bridge to Crane, from Crane to Parmalee, wow, it goes like this, the river. And it takes a lot longer to travel that bit of distance. So as we're going, I'm getting worried. The sun is going down and Eric is getting tired. He wants to stop. He wants to take breaks, but I realize we don't have time to take breaks. We don't have time to do this because we only have so much time before it's going to be completely dark out here. We have to keep going. Quitting is not an option. And I said to him, buddy, I know you're getting tired. I know you're running out of strength, but we just have to keep going. We just have to keep pressing forward because there are no good options. We're in the middle of the woods. There's nowhere to get out anytime real soon here. We just have to keep going because we only have a little bit of light left. And as tough as it was, I just had to keep encouraging him. Keep putting that paddle in and keep paddling one stroke after another because we have to get there before we run out of light. And I was getting pretty worried, I'll admit it. I'm trying to think how much could we keep going just with the light from my iPhone light going down the river until that goes dead. I'm trying to think, you know, is there anywhere we could get out, cross somebody's land, if we can even find something? Or are we going to have to just set up camp and sleep in our kayaks on the side of the river? We just had to keep going because quitting was not an option. And eventually, thankfully, before the last little bit of twilight was over, we saw the bridge up by Parmalee, and we got to it and got picked up. Perseverance is huge. The Bible talks about perseverance a lot, and that's what we're going to be talking about in this series the next 3 weeks. What does Scripture have to tell us about this? And we're going to see that perseverance is important because you have to keep going. We're going to see that perseverance is something that you can acquire, that you can build up in your life. We're going to see as Christians the sources of perseverance that we have that are beyond what the world offers and beyond what you're just going to get from inspirational stories. And we are going to see that in the Christian life, so often, the truth is that quitting is not an option. Whether it is your marriage, whether it is your attitude, whether it is making it through a difficult season in life, and especially maintaining your faith in Jesus Christ, the truth is we have to persevere. because quitting is not an option.
There are many places in Scripture that talk about endurance, that talk about perseverance. One of the great passages is in Hebrews 12. We'll be in Hebrews 12 and also Isaiah 40. So if you have both of those, we'll be flipping back between those. But Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And I want to focus on the line there that says, let us run with endurance. Christian, we are called to run this race, to run this race of life with endurance. We are called here to have endurance, to persevere. And we see that life is like a race, and it's like a race that requires endurance. It is not a quick sprint. It is not something that you can just get off the couch and just with your Snickers bar energy just do and then you're done with. This requires endurance. Carry on. It is a long race. And we see here it's a race that is set before us. What is the race that God has set in front of you, that God has called you to run? And God is calling you to run that race according to his plan, according to his will, for his glory, and to do that with endurance. He's called you to run to win. He's called you to finish, and to finish well. But we know that we live in a soft society, a society that doesn't produce a lot of perseverance, that we're in it for the quick wins, the quick gains. And so many things in our lives don't add up to cultivating endurance in our hearts and lives very well. So you can't just snap your fingers and just have endurance. It needs to be acquired. It needs to be built up. But here's the thing. We're going to be talking about endurance for the next 3 weeks, but I don't want to just do something that a motivational speaker could do. Come in and motivate you with just inspirational stories or phrases that you could get the same thing looking at cat posters about hanging in there. And there might be a place for some of these things, and there's truth in that and common grace. But as Christians, as people that know the Lord and people that have God speaking to us through the Scriptures and speaking to your heart through the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit, we have resources, it means, that go beyond anything that this world has. We can go deeper, and we can see that God is the ground of our perseverance. He is the ground, he is the foundation, he is the reason that we can persevere. So the first thing I want to say, I want to think about this, why should we persevere? Why is perseverance even a good thing? And yeah, we'll be talking about, we're commanded to, we're told to persevere. There are consequences for not persevering and rewards and blessings for persevering. But even behind all of that, I don't want us to miss this fact that God being the ground of this, the first reason I'm going to give you that perseverance is good is God's character. We can and we should persevere because God's character. God is a God who perseveres. God is a God that endures. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, starting with verse 28, it says this. It's such a great verse. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. This is what God is like. God endures. God perseveres. And that's why perseverance is a virtue. That's why it is a good thing. Think about it. Why is anything good? All the things that we consider good, we consider virtues, are good because that's what God is like. Goodness is good because that is what God is. God is good. Why should we speak the truth? We do because God is a God of truth. Why should we love? Because God is love. Why is it that we should be holy? It's because God is holy. In all these things, that's what God is like. And God is good and beautiful and true and pure and all of this. And our goal is to become as much as we can like him. So we should persevere because God perseveres. And no, not in the exact same way. We can't do it in the exact same way. But God wants us to keep on doing what we are called to do. And God, he does not get worn down. He doesn't get exhausted from his work. If you think you have a lot going on, God has to uphold the world every moment to keep us existing. He created this world and he continues to uphold it, to keep everything in motion, to keep us from just puffing out of existence. You know, when in Genesis, when it said that God rested after his 6 days of creation, it wasn't because he was tired. He rested because the work of creation was done. Just like when you rest in a piece of music, when the notes that are meant to be played have been played. He wasn't tired. The work had been done, and he shifted to a new work of upholding this world, and he does not get worn down with it. God is a God who is patient with us. Patience is the result of being someone that perseveres, that endures. Being able to show patience to others. And we have a long Bible. There's a lot of pages in here. And part of that's to get it through to us that God is patient. Even though you see page after page, chapter after chapter, generation after generation of human failure, and God keeps remaining true. He keeps remaining faithful to his promises, to his covenants, to his people. Generation after generation. And God will continue to be patient and to be faithful to you and to I. There's an application here. You know, we do see, and maybe you're thinking, well, you know, but God does sometimes, he gets mad and then he judges. Okay, but if you're thinking of it that way, you're putting our type of emotions into God. When God judges, it's after a long time of patience. And it is more like there is a deadline, and now just the deadline is up. And now there's a different, now there's consequences. Like you're at home, you're trying to get your child to do their math homework. And they stall and they stall and they stall. And eventually you say, if you don't have this done by noon, there's going to be consequences. And it doesn't mean that you've flown off the handle. Hopefully you're in control of yourself, but it might mean there's consequences. So when God judges, it's not because he's afraid. It's not because he's just going crazy with frustration. And the application for us, I think, right now, you know, we are in, if you're watching this at the same time that I'm preaching this, we are in the middle of the coronavirus and lockdowns, and we're weeks into it, and a lot of us, we're getting pretty frustrated. We are getting pretty worn down with the situation that we're in. And we need to be careful during this time, because when we're worn down emotionally, when we start to get to the place where we're emotionally afraid and all of this, it's really easy for us to react in ways that are ungodly and to react in ways that are just out of frustration rather than godliness and doing what is the right thing. So we want to make sure that we are being patient, that we are acting in the right way, even when it is hard and difficult. We need to keep going. So quitting is not an option. Why? Because God does not quit. And because perseverance, because that is what God is like, that means that perseverance is glorious. It means that perseverance is beautiful, because what God is like is glorious and it is beautiful. So you think, oh, perseverance, so you're telling me to do something hard. I'm telling you to do something beautiful. I'm telling you to do something that is glorious and that is God-like, and he will help us to do that. A little bit of a clarification. When we talk about perseverance, perseverance is a virtue when you're persevering in doing good. If you're just persevering in something that is evil or bad, that's not a good thing. Okay? I mean, the devil is really good at persevering in doing evil, but that is bad. So perseverance, going down the same path, is not a virtue if you're going the wrong way. If that's the case, if you are going in the wrong direction, then the thing that you need to do is you need to turn around. You need to change direction, repent, and start going in the right direction. Otherwise, perseverance in the wrong things, well, there are better names for that, like addiction, like stubborn-headedness, like stupidity, just heading down an empty road leading to your destruction. That's not the perseverance that you want. You can quit that. You need to. You should turn away from that. Turn away from emptiness and destruction to a life of fullness that God is offering you. So our first reason that we want to persevere is because that's what God is like, God's character. And the second is God's example. Specifically, God's example in Christ. Back to the book of Hebrews. We had read Hebrews 12:1. Let me read that and then the next verse as well. So again, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. God isn't telling us to do something that he doesn't do. God is a God who endures. He is the everlasting God. He does not grow weary. We think, well, he's God. He's not human. He doesn't have the same condition that we have. But we worship a God that came down in the Son of God and became a real human being and went through the trials and the hardships. He knows what it's like to get worn down physically and to be hungry and to be tempted to snap because he's not feeling well. We just got done with a long series in the book of Luke. We had over three different parts. Do you remember the sermon that we had in the passage where Jesus just quit and gave up? Do you remember that sermon? Yeah, I don't remember that either, because that didn't happen. Jesus became a human being, genuinely that, but he kept going and going because he knew what his mission was. He knew what the goal was. It said in Luke, he set his face towards Jerusalem, and he knew what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to be betrayed. He knew that he was going to be humiliated and turned upon, and he was going to be nailed to the cross. That's why he came. He needed to do that. That was his goal in coming. So Hebrews 12:2 tells us to look to Jesus. And we look to him. We look to him as the one that we worship and that we adore. And we draw our strength from. He is our goal. But we also, in looking to him, we see his example. And the way that he endured gives us a huge helpful key for how you and I can endure hard things as well. So when we look to Jesus here as an example, we see it says here that he endured as well. You know, the word endure literally means to stand under. It's like you're standing under this weight without giving in on this. And he endured something that was hard. Perseverance, endurance are about doing hard things. Endurance is only important when it's hard. You don't have to have endurance if you can just, you know, float downstream. You don't have to have endurance and have this appreciation when the times are easy. I don't have a message that says, endure the easy times. Come on, hang in there. You can do the easy things. You don't just endure when everyone loves you and you're just getting nothing but support and people are just throwing rose petals at you and telling you how great you are. That's easy then. But when you're not getting that encouragement from the people around you, when you meet frustrations, when things are hard, that's when you need to endure. And Jesus, did he endure hard things? Well, let's think about it. You think, well, you have a lot of hard things too. Well, were you ever nailed to a cross? Did you ever have to get nailed to a cross? And while doing that, not just the physical pain of this, but taking on the wrath of God for the world, absorbing eternal punishment for anyone and everyone that will come to you as Savior. And that's what Jesus did. He went to the cross so that if you come to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, putting your faith in him alone, you will find someone that bore on himself the punishment for all of your sins, absorbing the wrath that you deserve, that I deserve. He did that. This was a hard thing that he did. And that's why it's amazing that it says in here that who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That does not sound like a joyful thing. That does not sound like this happy thing that, ooh, let's go to the cross. That it was a shameful thing, it says. It was a hard, painful thing. But here's the secret. This is how he did it. He didn't just look to the cross. He looked beyond the cross. He looked at what was on the other side. What was the goal? What was he accomplishing through the cross? And he knew that through this, God would be glorified. He knew he would be raised. And he knew that people that he came to save would be saved through this. And he knew this was the only way for you and I to be saved. And this was the joy that was set before him. Knowing that because of this, there could be reconciliation with people that he created for his glory and he created to love and to love him and to exist together forever and ever, God and man together reconciled. And therefore the cross was worth it. And that is what he kept in mind that helped him to get through this and to endure the cross. So that's the key for us as well. Look to what is on the other side. Look to the goal. And keep that goal in mind. God is the ultimate reward. God himself is the ultimate goal. The best thing that we receive is not reunion with other people in heaven. It is not walking on streets of gold or crowns. It is God himself that we get to have a relationship with starting in this life and going into eternity and eventually seeing and worshiping and having ourselves transformed so that we can love him and delight in him forever. That is the ultimate goal, living for his presence, for his smile, his embrace. Hopefully one day his well done. And everything else in life that is good fits under that as well. Your marriage, wanting to finish that well, to keep your vows that you made on your wedding day, to love your spouse and all the other vows until death do you part. Not giving that up early, but reaching that finish line, even though it is going to be hard and there will be hard days and hard seasons. Your children, the marathon of raising them well. So they know that they're loved by their parents and by their God that made them, and that they know that they can find their love and happiness in Jesus Christ. And other things as well, your work, doing a good job there, finishing well, other goals in life too, if they be worthy and good, sticking to them, not quitting. Now sometimes, yeah, there are selfish dreams that we need to give up. And sometimes there are good things that they're okay, but sometimes there are lesser goals that do sometimes need to be sacrificed for a greater goal and a greater good. And it's going to take wisdom to determine what those things are. But you want to keep the greatest goals in mind. And Scripture is what's going to help you to orient and know what that is. Because it's not just about us. It's about God working through us in the lives of other people as well. For God's glory. And for the good of our neighbor. As Pastor Nick prayed earlier. The Apostle Paul, at one place, at the end of his life, he is in prison in Rome. And he is awaiting his death that will come very soon. 2 Timothy 2:10, he writes, "Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Our goals, they ought not to be about ourselves. We want to pour our lives out and to endure and to sacrifice for the good of other people. Is your suffering, is it worth it if God uses that so that another person can spend eternity in heaven glorifying God rather than being in hell? If you suffered for the rest of your life and one person can avoid an eternity of suffering and trade that in for an eternity of glory, put that on the scales. Keep looking to the goal. That's the key that we see from Christ. This is a true story. In 1952, there was a woman named Florence Chadwick who was just an excellent swimmer. And she was actually the first woman to swim across the English Channel. And she was attempting to swim from Catalina Islands to the California mainland. And it was a distance of at least 22 miles, which is unfathomable for me to think about, swimming that far. And she's swimming, and they have different kind of boats around her to not to help her, but for her safety. And the conditions were bad. It was foggy. It was cold. And she was miserable. And at one point, she just kept going. And she was 15 hours into this. I mean, I can't imagine swimming in the ocean for 15 hours. But at this point, she was drained physically and emotionally. And she begged to be pulled out of the water, to be pulled into the rescue boat. Her mom was there. And her mom told her that she was close and said, "Hang in there, you can make it." But she was so exhausted that she just stopped swimming. She gave up. And they pulled her into the boat. And it wasn't until she was in the boat that she found out that she was actually less than a half a mile away from the shore. That she was so close. But she couldn't see it because of the fog. And later on at a press conference, she said, "All I could see was the fog. I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it." There are many times where you and I, we can't see through the fog, that we can't see the goal, but we have someone who can and who does see through the fog and know what the goal is and that it is worth it. And what we need to do is to believe God when he tells us that, to believe the goal that he is telling us and to press on believing him. So, we have God's character, God's example, and lastly, we have God's grace. And we're going to talk about this more in the next two messages as well. But I want to come back to Isaiah 40. Read verse 28 again, and we'll keep going. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." Well, that's all great for God, that he's, you know, just the energizer battery that doesn't wear out. But what about us? Let's keep reading. Verse 29, "He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In the video, I talked about the time that Eric and I went kayaking, and I do need to make it clear that Eric is, he's near 17 now, and his endurance is amazing. The boy, he runs cross country, and well, I'll just say we went hiking last summer, and he has some stories that he could tell that would definitely prove that his endurance is much better than his old man at this point. But in that story, he was a lot younger and having a hard time. And it wasn't just the fact that we had a long ways to go, and it was still a few miles, but it's that we had so little time to do it that I had to keep telling him not just to keep paddling, but you have to paddle hard. And I knew we had to keep paddling hard or we were not going to make it to the bridge, to this one place that we could actually get out of the river in time before it was completely dark. And at the end, it was, I mean, we could barely see anything. We barely made it in time. So there just wasn't an opportunity to slow down or to take breaks. And I felt bad. I wanted to let him take a break, but I knew there just wasn't the option to do it. And I wish that there was a way. I was trying to think, I wish I had a rope or something that I could take this and tie it to his kayak, and that I could pull him, and I could use my strength to pull him along. And actually, after this time, I got this rope, and I keep this in the kayak so that if there's ever an occurrence like that again, that I could be a towing service in doing that. There are times when we are faint and we are weary. And there's times where maybe it is like that, where we're just done. We have nothing left but to call on God and to let him tow us, to just carry us along. But that is not what this verse says. That is not what Isaiah says. It says something even more glorious than this. And even more glorious than if he just tied the rope to us and, okay, now it's a little bit easier because we can paddle and he's paddling, so it's 50-50 or something like that. It's saying something that I can't do, I couldn't do with Eric. It says, he gives power to the faint. To him who has no strength, might he increase his strength. That God, by his word and by the Holy Spirit, miraculously gives energy, gives his strength to those that we don't have energy, that we are dead batteries. And he is able to supernaturally charge us again. And so we're not being just carried, but he gives us the strength so that we still soar like eagles, so that we run without growing weary, we walk without growing faint, that we still do what we are called to do. But God gets the glory because it is his power in and through us. But we still have our role to do. Perseverance, and we'll see this in the next messages as well, perseverance is not passive, but it's not in our strength either. It's active, but using the energy and the strength and the grace that he gives us. So don't quit. No matter how hard it is, no matter how tempted it is, if you have the right goal, if it is a good thing, if you are focused on the Lord, don't quit. Unless it means quitting rebellion and your sin. Yep, turn away from that. But make God your goal and keep going with the strength that God will give you. To conclude this message, let's go back to the river.
So when things are tough in life, when you are ready to give up, remember, quitting is not an option. Keep going. Keep your attitude. And keep remembering the things that we've talked about today, that God is the ground of perseverance for us. That we persevere because we worship a God that endures, a God who perseveres. And so when we see this, we think about the character of God. He is an everlasting God that does not grow faint. He does not grow weary. We see the example of God in Jesus Christ, who endured even death on a cross because he looked past that. He looked to the hope. He looked to what that was going to accomplish on the other side of it. And he knew that it was worth it to hang in there and to not give up. And we see the grace of God, that God is there to renew our strength so that we can keep going, not with the resources we have, but with resources and energy and strength that he gives to us so that we can keep going. So depend on him. Keep going. Don't give up. We cannot quit. Quitting is not an option.